Today, we're not traveling locally. We are going very, very far away. If I asked you your idea of the perfect holiday, I think for many of you, your brain might jump to warm beaches and sparkling oceans and palm trees and swimming costumes. But if for you, the picture that cropped into your head was one of a puffer jacket and a woolly hat and gloves, then I think today's segment might be more your cup of hot chocolate, shall we say, because we're heading to the North Pole and to the icy waters of the Arctic Ocean. Our tour guide for that journey is Hans van Hoekelem, who is co-founder of Unique Destinations, a company that specializes in polar expeditions to both North and South Poles, particularly focused on the North though today. Hans, great to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you.
Before we talk about the destination, I'm intrigued as to how you became involved in this particular niche of travel.
Well, it goes back about 26, 7 years. I was invited by the Polar Institute of the Netherlands because I was working in conjunction with them. And they invited me on a very small little vessel, it took about 49 people, to Franz Josef Land, which is a collection of islands, 122 islands. They're all flat-topped mountains covered in seabirds, and that's north of Russia. And I was so intrigued by this beauty and this absolutely mysterious wonderland and silence, and that it just grabbed me. We were actually doing a trip in the footsteps of von Payer. He was the guy that actually, he was an Austrian, hence the name Franz Josef. And I just loved the whole area and the remoteness of it. And I thought, well, this is really where a passion starts. And I started working with the Institute and with a company in the Netherlands promoting this. And then eventually I switched to the Antarctic, came in the scene. I went on there on a vessel with some very interesting people like Edmund Hillary and Sir Vivian Fuchs and the grandson of Scott, who I got to know well.
What an opportunity.
It was really a very, very great privilege. And so those two married very well. And on that basis, I started promoting a particular company called Quark Expeditions, which we now have an association of for exactly 25 years. So it's been a long run and time to retire, I think.
I don't believe, from the look of your eyes and the sound of your voice, I don't think you're ever going to do that.
Okay, Baba.
I mean, the Antarctic has, I think, it's come more into sort of popular imagination as an accessible tourist destination. I use the word in inverted commas because I know it takes a long time and quite a lot of effort to get there.
Quite.
But as a destination, it is something people accept. It's a place people go to on tours, on cruises, etc. The North Pole, not so much. What does it take to get there?
Well, the North Pole, of course, is a huge mass of floating ice of 16 million square kilometers going right across the top of our globe, the North Pole. And then having this ice starts to have an exit in largely in the east coast of Greenland. So you're looking at the Arctic in regions like the Northwest Passage above Canada, the Northeast Passage, which covers the entire length of Siberia, including places like Franz Josef Land, Novaya Zemlya. And then, of course, you've got the largest island in the world, which is Greenland, which has the longest fjord in the east coast. That's Scoresbysund. That's 360 kilometers. And then, of course, the archipelago of Svalbard, which is north of Norway, very well known for its polar bears. That's really an area we take people to if they want to specialize in the beautiful bear. The ruggedness of East Greenland is beautiful. It's quiet. More based on geology, landscape, less on animals. And then, of course, there's the intrigue of the Northwest Passage, which, of course, you know, it was always a sort of hidden area, and it was only Amundsen, the same guy who went to the South Pole, who did the first trip across in the little sloop called the Goya.
Didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's just quite intriguing. And, of course, there's far less ice now than when he went. So we concentrate on numerous areas, but I think the cream or the cherry is a trip right to the very North Pole, 90 degrees north, and it's on a Soviet nuclear-powered icebreaker. I think it's 75,000 horsepower, and it can break ice up to about 2.5 meters. So this is big stuff.
I mean, it's the imagination goes wild, because I think most of us have heard of the search for the Northwest Passage, the ships that got bound in the ice, the crews that were lost, never heard from again, the rescue expeditions that went after them and also got stuck. It is the stuff of sort of explorers' myth and intrigue. So, but so few people have the opportunity to actually go there and see it for themselves.
You're right, absolutely. And I think it's become almost like the Holy Grail in a way, because it's quite remote. And I think people are looking for the challenge of a wilderness area. It's that area of silence, of challenges, because the weather can be very challenging and you've got to listen to it. So you get to be very small and vulnerable, which is actually a good exercise. I like that. And at the same time, you appreciate a world which is changing dramatically. So if Mr. Trump was here, I tell him global warming is an absolute reality in the Arctic of all places, because we are seeing glaciers receding very fast.
Yeah.
And in fact, in Greenland, they are now hanging. So,
okay, I was going to ask you that, because of 25 years of going there, you must have been witness to the change.
Serious. Yeah. We've seen, just to give you an example, the Monaco Glacier on Svalbard has receded 1 kilometer over 4 years. And this glacier is 5 kilometers wide. So we are talking of about five cubic kilometers of ice, if you can imagine that. You know, it's vast. It's just huge.
And
it's still very beautiful to see it. But if you realize what's going.
And at that rate, how quickly it's all going to be
gone.
That
was 4 years,
Sure, that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Somebody asking on the SMS line, and thank you, I'm glad you've reminded me to ask about this. A trip for the Northern Lights, would this incorporate the areas you're talking about, or is that something you've got to do separately?
No, we do a lot of trips like that, again, on small vessels. And what we do is the most popular place or the most reliable place to see them is off east coast of Greenland, largely in September is a good month because of the clarity of the air and the ionization of the particles. Mm-hmm. And then we combine that with Iceland, which, of course, is now very in vogue, but still an incredible place, almost creation happening all over again, you know, with its geysers and tectonic plates. And it also has the largest glacier of Europe, the Vatnajökull.
I'm glad you had to pronounce that, not me. The volcano a couple of years ago was a testing time for raw journalists, I have to tell you, with the pronunciations there. Let's talk a little bit. It is, as you say, a very remote area. It's a lengthy process to get there, and I'm sure quite an expensive trip to get there. Costs are going to vary depending on where you go and what's included in the trip, Hans. But ballpark figure, what's the least you can expect to pay for a trip to the Arctic?
I think we're probably looking at about 130,000.
Okay.
You know, it's not cheap, but it is highly, highly rewarding. You know that phrase, life-changing experience. Well, I mean, I can say it again. It's not hackneyed. It's certainly true, and it's a mind investment. You know, you see something totally, totally different out of the ordinary, and also they're not masses of people, so it's that incredible silence. You know,
that's the third time you've mentioned
I know,
silence, and it's sparking in my head that is such a rarity these days, even in so-called wilderness areas.
We have noise around us all the time, and I think people can hardly hear themselves think. And we want to be quiet. We want to be on our own, and I think we want to be aware of these outside places where the light is changing all the time. You're so aware of it.
Must be a photographer's paradise because of that.
Totally.
Speaking of the light, though, I mean, you've mentioned September is the best time to do the Northern Lights trip to Greenland. Seasonally, I mean, I'm aware of the limited number of daylight hours in this part of the world at some times of year. Are there times of the year when it's just not worth going there because it's dark for too much of the day?
Well, the Arctic is, of course, the northern summer. So we're looking from about May right through till September. We do, just to add to the experiences of the Arctic, we are very much involved with a chap who lives in the north of Norway, and we do dog sledging in February.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's in the middle of winter, and of course that's intense lights, of course, and very challenging, Mm-hmm. And yes, you drive your own dog. So that's just the other side of expeditions.
Okay, my goodness. Right, any special preparation? I would imagine you need to invest in quite warm clothing for a trip like this, but is there anything else you need to sort of stock up on?
The company we work with, they provide you with wonderful parkas that you get for included, the loan of boots that you need. But for the rest of it, a lot of the clothing you'll have yourself already. I can honestly say that a damp Cape winter is colder than being in the Arctic in summer, because really? It's dry. It's a dry cold. So it's very manageable, and it's really not that freezing. I mean, you're looking at temperatures about plus 6-7 degrees, which is
your average winter's morning in Joburg on a warm day.
Exactly,
so yeah,
exactly.
that does put it in perspective.
So you're not going to freeze to death then.
Okay.
Maybe in winter.
Okay. Then
as I nearly did once.
That's going to have to be a story for another day, because
we're a story.
Out of time. Hans, I think, is somebody we're going to have to get on the couch to talk to us more about those experiences. Oh. You've been listening to Hans van Hoekelum, the co-founder of Unique Destinations, who work in tandem with Quark Expeditions to offer these astounding trips. Hans, the final question is for listeners who are listening to this going, I'm going to save the 120,000 Rand. That's my bucket list item. How do they make contact with you to find out more?
Well, I suggest you call the office.
Okay.
And that is Cape Town, 021-462-7032.
462-7032. Is there a website or a Facebook page?
There is a website, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And is that Unique Destinations?
That's www.uniquedestinations.co.za.
UniqueDestinations.co.za. We actually have got two more minutes left, and you've mentioned Greenland, you've mentioned Iceland, you've mentioned Svalbard. Any other spots totally off the sort of commonly known tourist track that you'd like to flag? Somebody's asking about the Faroe Islands. Would that be a place that you visit?
The Faroe Islands, I personally haven't been there, but I'd certainly love to. And it's a lovely set of islands that you can combine with Iceland, because there's a ferry going from Iglesdur on the east coast of Iceland. So it's a wonderful way of going to Iceland, doing a round trip, then going to the Faroes, and then you could fly from the Faroes via Copenhagen. So those, you know, there's lovely lots of mix and matches. And then I would say the coast of British Columbia, Alaska, you know.
Okay.
We also work with very small ships, and that's rugged and little inlets. And yes, it's also part of the Arctic. So
you've mentioned several different jumping off points. So I guess the next question will be affected by the wear of it. But visa requirements, I guess it'll depend on whether you're leaving via Russia, Europe, Canada, Alaska.
Yes. Europe would obviously be the Schengen. Mm-hmm. Russia, of course, South Africans don't need visas for, which is a big plus. And then, of course, Canada, you'd obviously require a visa there, depending on the passport, of course. You know,
That you're traveling with.
It's always the case. Yeah.
All right. So final question then. For somebody listening to this who is a complete novice, has never been to this area, has no preconceptions about birding or particular sort of passions that they want to pursue, if you're looking for a good all-round experience, which trip or which particular route or destination would you suggest?
Well, I think the most popular is going to Svalbard, or Spitsbergen is one of the islands of the archipelago. And that is entered via Oslo, so it's an easier route, and you can fly there via Turkey or Emirates. And then from Oslo, you fly right up to Longyearbyen, so that's accessible. The other one, of course, is the east coast of Greenland. Mm-hmm. Those are your two prongs which have taken the cake. We have this season starting with flying people from Helsinki to Murmansk, to take trips right to the Russian islands off the Siberian coast. So that's very unusual. And, of course, that's where Franz Josef is, which is where it all started.
Well,
I need to go.
It sounds like you need to go back. And thank you for planting the seed for us today. Hans, we'll get you back later in the year to talk South Pole expeditions, or at least the Antarctic. But lovely to have had you with us today.
Great pleasure, Pippa. Thank you.